Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 410. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will share how to receive one at the end of the program. Please specify whether you'd like an audio tape or a CD. It's absolutely free of charge, including the postage and handling. No charge at all. God gave me eternal life free of charge. He came to me in an office 43 years ago almost, and I am so delighted that he did, because the mystery of God was a very great mystery to me. But now, praise the Lord, I'm saved. We have some music for you. We got some testimonials, a strong message from the Lord. And right now, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Lord, I pray that you will show the world, and first and foremost, the church, those that profess Christianity, and yet they've missed the actual mystery of the gospel. It's so amazing to me, Lord, that they, I pray that you will anoint them and open their minds, their hearts, and their souls in this message. And let it be straight from the throne, Father, because it's straight from the Word of God and straight from the things that you have done. There's no doubt of it. Lord, that their souls might be saved and the church fear thee and keep your commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, that souls may be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, if this is the most spirit-filled piece of music that I've really ever heard in my life, it's the Old Rugged Cross. You've heard the song before, but Ralph Carmichael arranged and conducted the London Symphony Orchestra and Choir to do this tremendous song. We must all cling to the Old Rugged Cross. We must go to the Old Rugged Cross, because only in the cross is there salvation. The cross is what gets us into the kingdom of heaven. We must go to the cross and surrender our former life there and allow ourselves to be nailed to that cross with Christ, and then take up our cross and follow the Lord, and then deny ourselves the old life that we had before, that we were living before, so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. See if this London Symphony Orchestra and Choir, arranged and conducted by Ralph Carmichael, will touch your hearts. I'm sure if you've got a soul, it will. All right, here's Ralph Carmichael, The Old Rugged Cross. Well, everyone has a soul. I mentioned if you have a soul, you do have a soul. And it's going to spend eternity somewhere. And I pray right now to the Lord that it'll spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Because the only other place that a soul will spend eternity is if they don't fear God. If they don't go the way of the cross. The way of the cross is to go home to the kingdom of heaven. But people don't go that way. That's the only way to the kingdom of heaven is to come to the cross and give up this life. This is the part of the cross. This is the part of the gospel that the world despises. Satan despises that, and he hates for anyone to preach such a thing as that, that we have to give up our old former life so that we can go to heaven. But Satan is the root of all evil, and he deceiveth the entire world here in these last days. The world must never see what goes on in his office, what goes on in the theater, the backstage of the theater, or in its dressing rooms. Satan has a dressing room. He disguises himself as a beautiful woman or a handsome man or all different forms Satan disguises himself. Many times he disguises himself as the Lord or the Lord's preachers. Many times he disguises himself as Mary. But Mary didn't die on the cross. Let's face it, read the scriptures. Christ is the Redeemer, the Savior of our souls. Amen?
Amen.
So, for people that don't read the Bible, Satan's church must be bigger. You know, when you read the scriptures, you see Jesus didn't have any certain dwelling place, and he didn't have any huge cathedral. The imitator of Christ knows that people admire wealth and spectacular things made out of clay. And so he has huge cathedrals, and he makes them so beautiful. But, you know, let's look into the scriptures and see where Jesus preached and the apostles. They preached from mountainsides on top of hills out in the wilderness, the prophets. Such as Moses and Joshua. And they also preached in little houses. Nothing like you see Satan's, who has set the stage to make it look like this must live. This is what I thought before I was saved. God caused a lot, fear to come down on me in an office in Beverly Hills. He came down and put fear on the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus to destroy Christians. And he came down on a woman named a whore, named Rahab. Now, there's no possible way that a person can be saved if they don't have the fear of the Lord. There's no way that they're going to serve God. And I can read some scriptures to you that are in the Bible that tell you that exact thing. It also states it throughout the entire Bible, the Old and New Testament. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 through 20, it talks of the fear of God. And all the people saw the thunderings. This is at Mount Sinai. God called the entire nation of Israel to that mountain, and he roped, told Moses to rope it off. Only Moses and Aaron could go up to the mountain. He said, if anyone comes to that mountain and goes past the ropes, he says, they're going to be killed immediately. And so what the entire nation witnessed, and it was around 600,000 to 3 million Jews, they saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the shofar, which is trumpet, and the smoke in the mount. And when the people saw all this going on, there was also an earthquake. They moved far away and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak you with us, and we will hear what you're going to say. We'll hear, let God talk to you, and then you talk to, then you tell us what he says. But don't let God speak with us, because if he does, we're probably going to have a heart attack and die. It's so frightening to hear the voice of the Lord. And that's just the way it was with me, the way when the Lord saved my soul. And why would he come to me? The Bible says, Jesus said that he came into the world to save sinners. Amen. I was the chief, I thought. And he came down and frightened the Apostle Paul, a sinner. He said, the chief of all sinners. Well, anyway, and Moses said unto the people, don't be afraid of the knowledge that you're receiving right now. Not to have a satanic fear of it, but where God has come to prove you. He's going to put you through the test, in other words. And that his fear, it doesn't say reverence. In the Hebrew it says fear may be before your faces. And why? That you sin not, that you don't sin any longer. Okay, and so in the book of, well, first of all, let's do some testimonials. Where's the first one from?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa.
All right, let's hear that.
Dear Pastor Lamo, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I am an evangelist and an end-time student of God's Word University, as well as the School of Ministry for Evangelism, both in Ghana. I happened to read one of your world newsletters entitled Earthquake. Pastor, evangelist, Prophet Lamo, it was so revealing, convicting, and reviving that I suddenly burst into tears for mankind and our world today. Now, if all these are signs and symptoms of God's wrath and plagues, why then are most pastors and Christians being so carnal, worldly, and materialistic?
It's because they don't fear God. And if they don't fear him, they're not going to keep his commandments. Now look what happened when God came down upon me in the office in Beverly Hills when I was just there on a business deal. I didn't really want to get deep into the business because I didn't want anybody to invest in the project that I had. My own attorney says, do it as a favor, go there. And the Lord came down on me because I didn't believe that he existed. And he talked right through my body. He said, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or you're surely going to die. Thou shalt surely die. And I thought it was crazy. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul thought he was crazy at first, but he fell off of his horse and he started crying out to God. I was more thick-headed than Paul. I thought, well, if there's a God, there's got to be a devil too, because I've heard, you know, here and there about that there was a devil. And anybody that could look at the world the way it is today and see it and not know that there's a devil, they've got to be quite a bit touched in their head. Somebody in the world, somebody out there is doing some real bad things. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord came down upon me, and I was a sinner. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So Michelle, read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Go ahead and read it.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Yeah, I'm the number one sinner, and I thought I was too. And no doubt, the woman, the harlot, thought she was. Now, why would God send two of his people that he trusted into a whorehouse? He sent them in there to spy out the place. And somehow this harlot, this prostitute, hid these two spies that Joshua had sent out. It's in the second chapter of Joshua, if you care to read it. And she confessed to those two spies that the fear of Israel was upon them because they saw God opened the Red Sea for them. Sharon, read chapter 2. Read the spot where Rahab was talking to these two spies and trying to make a deal with them. Now, all the people, she said, were afraid. They feared God in Jericho, in that city, behind the walls. But she was the only one that feared God so much that she did something about it. Amen?
Amen.
And when I first found out, when God talked to me and I finally realized that it was Him, and when He started pulling the breath in and out of my body, the fear of God came into me so strong that I knew that if I resisted it, that He was pulling the breath in and out of my body, that all He had to do is just pull just a little bit more and send my soul to hell. I knew when He came down to me in power that He had the power to take my life immediately in there, which is going on 43, almost 43 years ago this next September, 2007. It just astounded me that God was real and that He was so powerful that my very soul was in His hand. The actual breath in my body kept leaving me and going back into me. Now, the Bible tells us that the word breath is the same thing as our spirit, okay? Air, breath, spirit, soul, as He blew His breath into us and made us a living soul. And so it astounded me. I didn't know the Bible, never read it before in my life. And I was almost 30 years old. I might have been 30 at the time. But the soul kept going in my body, and the spirit, my breath, started leaving me and going back. He says, "Now you know. Now thou knowest." And He was talking through my whole body. It wasn't just my ears were shut off, and I could hear Him in my legs just better than I ever heard the voice in my ears, in my chest, my arms, everywhere. And so in my soul, I was among all these people in there, and I was so, I thought, if I'm, I just want, I was talking to Him in with my mind. I said, "Lord, okay, I'll tell them." But I was arguing with the Lord and trying to calm Him. I said, "Lord, let me tell him tomorrow. Let me send him a wire, a cable. Let me call him on the phone." And He started pulling the breath out of me. "I'll tell him now." Inside my mind, I said that, in my heart. And so I started talking to Him. I says, "Okay, you guys," I couldn't hear with my natural ears, "you know that I never believed in God or Jesus or anything like that, but God is telling me to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again." And I thought they were going to go crazy and start throwing me out of the office, but they didn't. They just looked at me like they were watching a movie. And so the Lord said, He came down and He put these promotions that I used to do before my eyes, the American Health Studio silhouette figure form. He came down with the 20 original hits. I'm the one that got allowed to start that record offers on TV and radio. And the 20 original hits. And then also, before that, as I said, and then all these different promotions that I did. With the American Health Studios, he said, "You did this, add more years to your life and more life to your years. Join the American Health Studios and you women, the Silhouette Figure Form International." And, "Hi there, this is the Record King. This is Earl McDaniel with the most fantastic record offer of all times. 20 smash hits on one big album for only so much money." And, he says, and he mentioned another one, and he says, I just don't want to get into all of it right now. And he says, "Now that you know that I'm here, look at how you promoted this Bobby Jameson. He's the world's next phenomenon and all this." And he says, "Now that you know I'm up here, is that all you're going to do?" And so I immediately, a sinner. Now, you don't see the church people doing this. You don't see them going out on the streets or talking to people that are sinners. But the Lord came into the world and kept all the commandments and was crucified and buried. And then rose from the dead and ascended into the kingdom of heaven and became a life-giving spirit to where we call on him, and his spirit comes down into us. And he expects those of us that he reveals himself to. And most of the people are supposed to be, his revelation comes to them by the preaching of the word, or if you read the Bible and somehow you understand it, which I never could have. And I didn't respect any Christians or any people on earth, because my mother and my dad disappointed me, and my brothers and my family and a lot of the people in the world disappointed me greatly, to where I didn't have any respect for anybody except myself. And I really didn't respect myself that much, but I what I did is I just did promotions for people, and I was getting so bitter because I thought, what's the use of living? Well, it's just the same old thing over and over again. It's like a treadmill. You're going nowhere. You're walking, but you're getting nowhere. And I'm sure that this is what Rahab the harlot thought when she saw, and the people of Jericho thought when God opened the Red Sea. What a miracle this was. And when the Lord, after he talked to me the way that he did, I didn't doubt that anymore, that he could open the Red Sea. I didn't doubt at all that he knew every hair on our head. I knew they knew everything, because with the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit, came down upon me, he revealed that he knows everything. He knows every molecule, every atom. As a matter of fact, he made everything in the world out of atoms, molecules. He says that he made everything that we can see out of something that you can't see. This is his spirit. He is living in every atom and every molecule, and therefore he knows everything. Amen?
Amen.
And so when this power came down upon me, and he did all these things to me, I knew that I couldn't be a sinner anymore, because the Lord came into the world to save sinners. So I didn't want to know anything except what God wanted me to know. I wanted to know all about God. Because I knew that, eventually everybody's going to stand before him, and I was no exception. And I was a sinner. And Rahab, the harlot, knew that she was a sinner as well. And all the people in Jericho, a lot of them went looking after these two spies were there, but she hid them because she was so frightened. Why would God send his people in there? Because he wanted them to spy out. And the prostitute opened her door and probably thought they were customers, but he says, come in. And then she recognized that they were spies from Israel, and she said, what, Sharon?
And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us.
And the terror of the Lord, that isn't reverence, folks.
Amen.
He terrorizes people. He terrorizes you. And so she was a sinner, but not as bad of a sinner as a lot of people. The people that are sitting in church and are not witnessing to sinners. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I wasn't a church person. I wasn't a person that would ever have thought of myself as a person that would be going to people, sinners, and telling them, you know, that you have to repent of your sins. And that you have to, but the Lord used me, a sinner. He put the fear of God into me, and I was trembling. I'm just still to this day afraid to not do what the Lord says, because he terrorized me. And I felt that, like the Hebrew people, oh God, yeah, okay, just let me know what to do and I'll do it, but don't talk to me anymore. It's like too frightening. It's frightening. And then the harlot here said what?
I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us.
That God's terror is fallen upon them. They're terrorized. So she wanted to do something to please God. I'll hide these two people from these wicked people here at Jericho. I'll hide them. I'm a sinner, but the Lord has terrorized me. And my God, I've got to do something here to you know, I sure don't want to be a prostitute anymore. I sure didn't want to be out in the world anymore. The Apostle Paul didn't want to kill Christians anymore, did he?
No,
he wanted to fellowship with Christians. And I did too, and I went to all the different churches to find out what I was supposed to do. And they were not, they were like these sinners. God didn't come, Jesus didn't come to save people that thought they were wonderful and saved. He came to save sinners, amen?
Yeah.
And that's why he went, why would he go to a prostitute? Because she's a sinner. And he knew that this woman would be so frightened because there was no doubt in her heart that she was sinning. Amen?
Amen.
And she was convicted of her sins, and she, God knew that she was going to help his church. She was going to help Israel. Amen?
Amen.
And God must have, he knew for sure, it's not must, he knew that I was going to out and preach the gospel to the whole world. Amen. And he knew Paul was going to do the same thing. The Lord didn't come to a priest to bring this message of fear and trembling to the world. He didn't come to a bishop, to a Levi, or a any person that claimed to be a person of God. Didn't come to any people that claim to be prophets today. He comes to we who are sinners to bring this message to you. We're the ones that were motivated. Paul was motivated to write more than 2/3 of the New Testament. And the gospel that the Lord gave me has gone throughout the entire world. And the testimony of Rahab has been preached throughout the entire world as well. And the sinners that God has put the fear in are the ones that bring the gospel to you. And if you're a self-righteous person, the harlot Rahab is better than you. Amen? In the eyes of God. And so if you think you're well, you know, that you're just not a sinner and you're mightier than everybody, you know, you're even holier than God, you're going to hell because a common harlot, the Bible says, shall enter the kingdom of heaven before a self-righteous person. God called his people to save souls. That's why Jesus came into the world, to save sinners. Do you have it there? Okay, read that right now.
This is a faithful saying.
Where is this at?
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15.
Well, this is very faithful. You can count on this. You know, it happens to be the contract between God and us through Christ that, what?
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation.
I mean, this, you got to really receive this. You have to accept it. What?
That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Right. So why would God come and talk to an old reprobate? Of course, he hadn't been turned over to a reprobate mind. He was or me, or some common prostitute. Because he knew that we'd go to work for him, that we'd do something. Amen?
Amen.
And the self-righteous that are sitting in churches, we don't see them out on the street. They think that they're well and preserved, and they just clap their hands a little bit, or they go and listen to just a message that doesn't really put fear of God into them. Because people hate the fear of the Lord, and they hate the where God says, where the Bible says, where Jesus said that you have to come to the cross. You have to give up this old world. You have to let him live inside of you and live out his life in you. You have to let God put you on as a suit. He wants to walk around in you. And consequently, if God's going to walk around in you, if he's going to live in you, you have to give up your old life, partner. Or if you're not a partner, then forgive me for calling you a partner, you hypocrite. Amen?
Amen.
And so you're hypocritical. if you say that you're a Christian and Christ with his Father by the Spirit is not in you. Now, the Apostle Paul, let's get back to him. He wrote, God knew that he would allow God in him to write around two-thirds of the New Testament. God was really in him. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it states, Paul speaking here by the Holy Spirit, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech. You hear some of these people, brothers and sisters, let us come together. Paul didn't talk that way, with eloquency of speech. And he says, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, because I've got too much fear in me to just sit there and talk to you like your school children. I came to you to preach the power of God. For I, Paul said, this is verse 2, made a determination. I made a deal with myself not to know anything of this world anymore. Anything of the world among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words, like a wordsmith of human wisdom. I don't want to come to you with human wisdom. There's way too much of that in the world, amen?
Amen.
But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, the power of God, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit. So anybody that's preaching to you that the Holy Spirit was only for those in the day of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, they're liars, all right?
Amen.
These are false teachers and preachers. And so we have these big church that tells you, you know, about all these different and shows you all these millions of dollars that they spend on cathedrals and basketball courts and all the other things. It's all right to exercise, because bodily exercise profits little. But at any rate, I went to all the different churches, and they were not, I didn't see any fear of God. And they were talking about basket socials, and we were going to have a picnic, and baseball, basketball, football. And I thought, my God, how can they be talking about this stuff? When God told me that Jesus Christ has come back to earth again, he says, get up on your feet and tell the people in this room that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again, or I would surely die. And he didn't preach it in my ears. I could hear it all through my entire being, my whole body, my soul, my spirit, my heart, my lungs, every place but my actual human ears. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So this is not human wisdom. Nobody, there isn't anybody in the world that I admired enough to listen to them about heaven and hell. You know, with their false doctrines, I didn't want to hear about that. I just figured I'll go out and raise hell. But then God stopped, put a screech and halt to that. Now, if we have heard the dispensation of the power of God, which is given to me, Paul said, to you, I God forced me to come to you with the power of God. I didn't come with eloquent words. I don't believe myself to be an eloquent speaker. The Lord told me to write. And, you know, a lot of souls have been saved through the things that the Lord has told me to write.
Amen.
Now, I came to you how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Well, it's such a mystery to church people. Why God chose Tony? Why did God chose this whore? This stinking whore. Nobody will even talk to a whore in the churches. Amen?
Amen.
I thank God. God used me to go into Nice, France, and I preached. I cleaned the whole streets up of whores. I went in there and preached the gospel to them, and all of them but one, and there was a lot of them, got saved. And then I went to, and a lot of other people, I had a pretty good-sized church there in Nice, France. And then the Lord sent Monsieur, which I call him, into Toulouse, France, which is a seaport, and we won harlots there, prostitutes, whores, to the gospel, because God, the fear, God's fear, will push you into explaining the gospel to sinners, because he came into the world not to get a little church in the Vale, you know, a bunch of people sitting around, old folks, and they're, you know, God wants me for a sunbeam. No, he wants you to go out and preach the gospel, amen?
Amen.
With fear and trembling and with power, not with words of man. Now, this is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. How that, I've already read two verses to you, how that by revelation God made known unto me the mystery as I wrote. It's such a mysterious thing how God operates. The mystery of God is now is known unto me. Why did they call you? That's for the first thing that all my friends asked me. Why would he do that? Back then, I didn't know. I'm sure the prostitute didn't know. I'm sure Paul didn't know why he was called. But the Lord told him to go over to a house where there was a man of God, that he would lay hands on him. He blinded the apostle Paul, and he said, go over to Ananias' house. And people had to lead him there because he had been blinded by this bright light that was that shone unto him. He says, who are you, Lord? So he knew who it was. He said, Lord, amen?
Amen.
He said, I am Jesus who you persecute, amen?
Amen.
And I am Jesus, I am God Almighty that put the fear in you, Rahab. Now you hide my witnesses here, these two spies. And she took them on the roof and covered them up. With what?
Flax.
Man, she took, if she would have been caught doing that, she would have been put to death. And, you know, in certain places in the world, and even here in the United States, it's getting to the point to where if we get caught preaching the gospel, they've already put hitman out for me. You just ask John Peeler, or ask for that piece of literature that John Peeler wrote, and I put some additions in, my two cents into it. And he's a former FBI man, and he will tell you that he was paid. He was told that he had to assassinate me. For what? For preaching the gospel, the power of God. So he said, this gospel has been given to me for you people, you sinners. And that's why God called me, because not everybody is going to, at the peril of losing their life, tell you the truth. But as I said, Satan likes to cover the truth. He likes to make it look like it's a rich, you know, big thing of man's wisdom and man's buildings and man's music. Well, they've got a lot of artists in the Catholic cult. And, you know, they've painted great paintings. And, well, I love to look at them myself, but I know that there's no salvation in that. I didn't know. I'd seen that before I was ever saved, and it didn't do anything to me. But I said, well, that guy's a good painter, you know. And I heard their music. Oh, that's great music. It's about the greatest music you'll ever hear on this side of eternity. But it isn't. It didn't do anything to me. It didn't save my soul. What happened is the same thing that happened to the children of Israel. He came down upon them, and they were afraid. They were afraid. They didn't want to hear from God anymore. And for the longest time, I just said, when God put me together with Sue, I said, Sue, I get so afraid, you know, that the Lord is going to kill me. And she says, he's not going to kill you. You're out there preaching the gospel to sinners, and that's what he wanted you to do. And I said, I know, but one night I was out on the streets with Sue, and she says she had cancer, and neither one of us knew it. And she says, I'm so tired, Tony. Can we go home? And I said, just let me win one more soul. Let me distribute this literature. We used to go down to the Free Tract Society and pick up free pieces of literature, because this was before the Lord gave me the power through the Holy Spirit to write. And so we're passing them out on the street, and I says, just one more, Sue. God, these hippies are getting saved. It was in the mid-60s. He said, but I'm so tired. Can I just sit down? And that night, the Lord came down upon me and said, he really was like full of fury on me, and I cried out to the Lord audibly all night long. And Susie says, what's wrong? I said, the Lord is angry at me because I didn't take you home right away. And it wasn't that much later when I found out that she was had breast cancer. And I just don't want the Lord to ever come down on me like that again. And it happened also with this Foursquare preacher. I was going to do a record session for him, and I did a real bad thing. I took some of the money, because I was going to take him to a nicer recording studio where he'd get better sound. And this man wrote some beautiful songs. Take Up Thy Cross and Follow Me and, just a lot of them. And the Lord made me fast for almost 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. And, I mean, the fear of the Lord is upon me, folks. The fear of the Lord was upon Moses and also most of the people of Israel for a while. But then they didn't endure. You know, the human mind is so weak. And after they'd seen all these tremendous exhibitions of the Lord's power in Egypt, and after they had taken these Jews out of there, they still wanted to go back to Egypt because there was onions and leeks there. And even though they were being beaten and their children were being, their young boys, the baby boys were being slaughtered, they still wanted to go back there, and God was angry with them. And all of them were left dead after 38 more years in the wilderness before God allowed Caleb, Joshua, and all the other the young men and women to get into the promised land. And the Lord cast down all the angels, one-third of the angels in the kingdom of heaven, all of them, one-third of them, and they were higher in power than we are, the Bible says, and yet God cast them down, and they're in chains of darkness now, waiting for everlasting hell, and death and hell should be cast into the lake of fire. So, how that by revelation, the Apostle Paul says, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, his testimony, whereby when you read, you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery? That he came into the world to get a bunch of very bad sinners. Now, he went to the good people for the longest time. And now that it's the end of time, he picked a bunch of characters like Paul and Silas and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and people like myself and others like me, because he showed us the knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man as it is now, revealed unto his holy apostles. He's revealed this unto his holy apostles. And why? He said, so that we could, with the fear of the Lord, be generated unto you, put before your face, put on the air, put in the gospel literature, by prophets, by the Holy Spirit. Now, people that preach that there's no Holy Spirit, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Why did God talk to Paul? Why did he talk before that to Noah? Why did he talk to Rahab? Rahab, a common prostitute, to enter the kingdom of heaven before the self-righteous. Because the self-righteous isn't going to do anything for the Lord. The common harlot, when she hears about God and she knows she's a sinner and she admits it, and the Lord tells her to do something, she, at the peril of her life, is going to hide the two spies under the flax. Amen?
Amen.
And give them instructions. And she made a deal with them. I'm going to let the scarlet cord come down. And when you see it, save me and my family. All right? And the scarlet cord, it's like red, like the blood of Jesus. Amen? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen?
Amen.
So it was symbolic of that. Okay, so let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The mystery of the Lord has been given unto us, that you must fear God and keep his commandments, and he came to save sinners. And if you don't help him, if you don't let him put you on like a suit and give up the old life and come to the cross, there's no hope for you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. And without controversy, there's no argument, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, so he didn't look like an angel. He was the flesh of Jesus, justified in the Holy Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory, and he's now the Spirit of God. He is now become the life-giving Spirit. And he wants to enter into you and save your soul. That's what he came here for. Amen?
Amen.
If you're sitting in churches and you're not preaching this gospel, then you're worse sinners than those that don't profess to be a Christian. Just like the Good Samaritan, there was a couple of men that were supposed to be men of the cloth, a priest, and who else?
A Levite.
And they didn't do anything for anybody, for this man that was beaten and dying. But this man that didn't claim to be anybody of God, he took care of the man. Amen?
Amen.
And you unrighteous hypocrites are sitting in churches, and you fight the very ones that God has anointed to preach the gospel to sinners. My, my, my. What will God do to the hypocrite? Read the Bible. They're going to go to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire. And I pray that you people have received, you hypocrites, have received this message tonight, that your souls may be saved, because hypocrites are the worst sinners on the face of this earth. Amen?
Amen.
To not do what the Lord says. You must be obedient to the Lord, because obedience is better than sacrifice. All right? So that's my message tonight. And those of you that would like to receive the exact opposite of hypocrisy, if you will receive the fear of the Lord, if you'll believe the gospel, you know, where God opens up the entire sea, the sea of the Red Sea, and he opens up our mind, heart, and souls, and if you believe that you could die any second, and you could wind up before the judgment bar of God and cast into hell in the lake of fire, well, then give your heart to the Lord. But if you don't have any realization of that, well, then seek. Ask God for wisdom, which is the fear. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Ask him, and you may not receive this message. You know, so many people in the world don't. But you either will or you will not see the Lord Jesus Christ causing you to say, and come in, my good and faithful servant, well done. What are you supposed to be the servant of? You're supposed to let him live his life out in and through you. So let's get saved now. Let's get busy for God. Ask the Lord to come into your heart by saying this prayer. Say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and he shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart. Lord Jesus, wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood. My former filthy sins away, and even the sins of you people that think you're so self-righteous, even the sins that you don't know about, because everyone has sinned and come, and it's not has come short of the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, Lord, I know you have heard me. I know you've answered me. Wash me in your blood. And I know you've answered me, and so therefore, Lord, I know that I'm saved. I just thank and praise the Lord for saving your soul and share and tell them several ways how to receive a copy of this tape or CD program of 410.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, now those of you that receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you have something to look forward to, because you can look forward to something beyond the sunset. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of the Lord that's more of the truth. This is Ralph Carmichael with his orchestra and the singers to sing for you Beyond the Sunset.